If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A, as in Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else, because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What we talk about here on the show, we talk about guns, gear, we talk about the right to carry, we talk about open carry, concealed carry, we talk about open carry movements, we talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call into the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial free. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up in the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. Hey guys, welcome back from the break. Calling in early, first part of the show, from Georgia, we have Mark on the line. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hello. There's a number of things, so I'll try to briefly cover these, and then we'll take it from there. If I understand correctly, the FBI went to the 10-millimeter cartridge and found that it had too much kick that they didn't want to handle it, so they went back to a 40 caliber. I was wondering, are those 10 millimeters that they had before, are they available for public sale, or is it only if you meet our approval and you don't ask embarrassing questions about the $2.3 trillion the Pentagon announced missing the day before 9/11 or like that? And the other thing I was wondering.
Wait. Let's address one thing at a time.
Okay. That's fine.
First of all, the FBI went with the 10 millimeter after developing a downloaded 10 millimeter, and they started ordering the Smith & Wesson Model 1076. It is a third-generation style Smith & Wesson. However, it had frame-mounted decockers and things rather than slide-mounted things because the FBI didn't want anything mounted on the slide.
Okay.
1076. What the FBI did with those guns, I have no idea. I've never seen one on the market that came from the FBI. However, they were sold on the market at some point in time. You can still find 1076s. I've shot a couple here and there. The Smith & Wesson did make them for the civilian market. The reason that the FBI went away from that and went back now to the Glock 22 and the Glock 23, the 40 caliber, is that gun, the 10 millimeter, the 1076, was a very large gun. A 10 millimeter you have to put in the size of a gun that would hold a 45 ACP because of the case length. So what they ended up doing is realizing, you know, we're getting the same performance out of the 40. We pseudo-developed the 40 Smith & Wesson. Just the manufacturers were smart enough to cut the casing down so that we weren't having so much hollow area in the casing. We could just narrow it down and have a tighter powder fill. So then they ended up going with the 40. It wasn't because of recoil or anything. In fact, with the bigger gun and the downloaded 10, with that bigger 1076 and the downloaded 10 millimeter, you had very negligible recoil. It was like a standard 9 millimeter for the most part.
But it still had the same, I guess that's where I'm confused about
the
physics.
It had the performance of the 40.
Same punch, but not the same kick.
It had the exact same performance as a 40 Smith & Wesson. So they didn't need to go with all of these custom-ordered, custom-made guns built just to their specification. They could get a much less expensive gun that was much easier to run, much easier to train with, and quite honestly, much more reliable in the form of a Glock for $350, $400 a piece, and then buy the 40 Smith & Wesson ammo, which was readily available on the market as opposed to the downloaded 10, which was also much more expensive. Which works out because they had so much money invested in developing this downloaded 10. The least they could do is try to recoup some of those costs by going with a 40 Smith & Wesson, which is what they have now. Now they probably have the best gun that any federal agency has in the form of the Glock 22 and the Glock 23. You can't get any better than that.
Well, one thing I noticed, I noticed that the dies that I bought for reloading my 10 millimeter will also work with a 40 caliber, but one difference is the 10 millimeter takes the large pistol primer and the 40 caliber takes the small pistol primer, which I guess might give a little bit better economy. I appreciate your breakdown because you really are knowledgeable about this area.
Forty's my favorite round, and I watched the development from its inception. So yeah, I just dig the whole thing. Anyhow, carry on.
I got you. Well, one thing I'm also interested in, I was contacting AK Parts, which I shot them an email because I don't have a number to call because I prefer the live interaction. And I've been interested for some time in getting a kit where they give you the parts, and the receiver has been the key component that they have said, this constitutes the heart of the gun, and you can't manufacture these without having said to be manufactured a gun. But the thing is that they said they can no longer import barrels for various firearms to make a kit. And I was wondering, tell you what, let me give you my website. This is just for people to contact me.
Hold on. Before you start spouting out websites, ask me the question first.
Okay, the question is, as I understand it, the availability of kits to make, say, for example, an AK-47 semi-automatic has been curtailed by the cessation of allowing barrels to be imported for these kits. So that basically I would have to get in touch with somebody who's, say, making aftermarket AK-47 barrels to accompany the rest of the parts so that we can assemble our own firearms. And one, it's more economical. There's a greater, like, I guess I was telling you about this a while back about my idea about reconstituting the militia, where each militiaman would be given the parts, supervised access to the machinery, and instruction on how to assemble their own weapon
right. From
each individual piece part.
Yeah, I remember that. That's actually a decent idea.
Well, and of course, because it gives the technical knowledge of how the firearm works, and it gives a sense of ownership. I mean, if you go and buy a car off the lot, brand new, here's a wad of cash or financing, whatever, versus you go to the junkyard, you get this broken down piece of junk, and you piece by piece, you rebuild the whole thing, and then you have a completely operational vehicle, you have a more of a sense of ownership with the refugee from the junkyard than you have something where you have a piece of paper saying it's yours.
Sure. But I have to tell you this, Mark, with all of the riveting and all of the stuff that is required in fitting an AK-47 to the point where it will work for a long time and not fall apart and not have any sort of reliability issues, you have to be a pretty experienced machinist. Do you have a pen in your hand?
I have a pencil, and I've got a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering technology, so I'm not a total stranger to these things.
Good.
I understand you have to have the proper technical prowess. Fire away.
Okay. Jim Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R.
Jim F-U-L-L-E-R. Okay.
At rifledynamics.com.
Hold on a second.
Just rifledynamics.com.
Dynamics.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Jim has been a guest on the show. He's a guest on the show about 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
Of all the people I've ever known in my life, Jim Fuller knows how to build an AK-47. Rifle Dynamics is an AK-47 specialty shop. I want you to shoot him an email and tell him you're a listener to 2A Radio and you had a question on the kits, and have Jim get back to you. Or you could shoot him off and say, I've got a question on this. Can you give me a call and have him call you? Jim and I have known each other for probably 10 years. He's a fantastic guy. He is a certified, qualified, high-end, from basics up to high-end tactical range master when it comes to being able to teach people how to use these guns and others. So not only does he know how to build them, he knows how to run them into the freaking ground and make them run. So if anybody knows what it takes to keep an AK-47 running after it's built, it's Jim. Get a hold of him. See what he has to say. He is, if there's anybody that I know that is a specialist in something, that's the go-to guy. Jim is the go-to guy when it comes to AK-47s in this country.
Well, let me give you one final parting shot, because I've spoken with this guy. He's been thoroughly harassed by the BATF over, you know, some cooked up allegation. Well, you're manufacturing guns. And actually, he was in the business of manufacturing components for military small arms, which got outsourced to Mexico. So he did the due diligence of the legal research of what can he build a kit? And he started building these kits to make an AR-15, and he was marketing them when the BATF, without charging him with any crime, confiscated a lot of his goods, gave him a lot of legal harassment, ran up his legal bills without even charging him with a crime.
Yeah,
you know, it's guilty until proven innocent.
The ATF does that all the time.
Are you familiar with KT ordinance?
No.
You might want to have Richard, I think, you might want to have him on sometime. It's KT ordinance. That's ordinance, not ordinance like a law. I take it you know the distinction in spelling.
I do, yes.
Christy Toole ordinance. And they make kits, well, I should say he makes kits, where basically you get the receiver and or the, what should we call it, the frame of the for the pistol, which is like a
45. And then he sends you the information on how to do the last bits of the machining
and specialized tools that you need to do it yourself. But, of course, a technical knowledge is you know, here's the instructions, and hopefully I don't have to explain to you what run out means or you know, plus or minus so many thousands of minutes. If you can't handle it, find someone who does. Because like I say, that's the point with the militiamen. You want to have instruction and supervised access to the machinery, because some dum-dum drills a hole through his hand with a drill press because he didn't know what he was doing. It could make the whole idea look bad.
Right. What you're talking about is a guy that's putting together incomplete receivers or frames for different firearms. Correct. That is within the way the law is written and the regulations, but the ATF goes in there and illegally and unconstitutionally shuts you down, seizes stuff, all this other stuff, and tries to run you into bankruptcy by saying, look, we're going to arrest you and file charges. The respondent says, well, but I'm not doing anything wrong. And the ATF's response is, that might be right, but are you willing to go through all of the tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in defending yourself and going bankrupt to do it? Or we'll back off if you sign this form that says you'll never do this again because we don't want you to. And it's totally illegal. It's totally against the law. And what that is that's tyranny. And tyranny, by another form of the word, is treason. And right. Treason is, in this country, if convicted upon treason, is punishable by death. So why he doesn't try to charge them back with treason and have his local authorities actually arrest him, I don't know. Yeah. But that's the way the ATF works.
He hasn't done it yet. So you knew about this case, I take it.
Yes, I do.
Okay, have you actually had him on your program yet? Or
I have
would you
not.
Like to?
What, do
well,
this.
Yeah, like
hold on. Wait, Mark.
Email.
Mark, yep. Listen. Shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com. We're going into the break, and I will get a hold of him. That'd be great. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Guys, stay tuned. We got more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Welcome back. From the listener email bag, a fellow by the name of Randy Hansen, he sends an email, says, love the show, wish it was a bit longer, but what are you going to do? Well, you could listen to it twice. Okay, here we go. He says, I was thinking about getting a SOCOM 2, or should I just save the cash and get a SOCOM 1, which is, there is no SOCOM 1. It's actually, the SOCOM 16 is the original. So should you get a SOCOM 2 or SOCOM 16? He says, I also hear you give a lot of advice about other weapons and mods, also the importance of weapons maintenance, but I never hear you mention anything about physical fitness. Keep up the good work, Randy. Okay. First of all, I'd like to address something. Just something small. And please, nobody take this personally. I get a lot of emails from a lot of the listeners, and a lot of them are just, you know, thoughts on things that are not appropriate for the air. It's just, you know, hey, thanks a lot for talking about blah, blah, blah. Appreciate it. Good job. Okay, great. So here's the deal. A lot is two separate words. A space lot. A lot is not one word. A-L-O-T is not a word. A space lot is two words. You get it? So if you say, I have a lot, that is four separate words, not three. A lot is two separate words. Got it? A single letter word and a three letter word. I just want to let that know because I get a lot of emails that have a lot as one word. It's wrong. It's two words. Okay. Just some of these grammar things, just for some reason, I guess it's my own OCD, when I see some of these grammatical mistakes, it just kind of makes me shudder a little bit that America has never learned some of these true basics. Another one that just drives me up the walls, when people say these ones or those ones. You don't put ones afterward these or those. It doesn't work. You say these or those. You'll say these ones or those ones. It drives me up the wall, and I don't know why. It's just one of those little things. So I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails that say a lot is one word of these ones and those ones just because everybody's going to pick on me for taking up radio time talking about grammar when I should be talking about guns, which is where I'm going right now. The difference between the SOCOM 2 and the SOCOM 16 is this. The SOCOM 2 has a whole bunch of rails on the front of the gun so you can put your aircraft landing light, your strobing tactical light, your green infrared laser, your standard laser, your bipod, and anything else in the world you can think of to make the front of the gun even heavier. All right? I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of having every gadget you can think of, including a little fold-out cup holder. You can actually get that online. And maybe a little flip-out television set or video camera so you can see what it is that you're shooting at night or day, whatever. I'm not a fan of that. The SOCOM 16 in my book is just fine. However, I tend to take the minimalist approach. I like a lightweight gun with the minimum amount of stuff on it. I am not one of these gearheads that believes I need to have a long, heavy barrel with heavy aluminum or even steel rails with every gadget I can buy on the gun. The gun is for shooting. The gun is not used for a tripod or a mounted aerial observation system or a laser light show. It's designed for shooting. Don't go hog wild with your gear. Some people throw so much money into their gear and then they start shooting crappy ammo through it. Don't do that. Save the money, buy more ammo, and buy ammo that's a little bit better than the cheapest garbage you can possibly find in someone's online garage sale. All right? SOCOM 16 is fine. Save the money. And he also says, but I never hear you mention anything about physical fitness. Physical fitness is absolutely important. If you can't get into a wrestling match with somebody, actual real-life wrestling match, how many of you could do that and actually last 30 seconds of outright physical exertion? 30 seconds. How many of you could do that? Let me see the hands. A few of you. That's good. How many not? And I see some of the hands didn't go up either time. That means no. Well, if you can't go 30 seconds of outright, honest-to-God, physical wrestling, like real-life fight sort of thing, then you're not up to the shape you need to be in, which is about 10 solid minutes of hard cardio. 10 solid minutes of hard cardio without gasping. Okay? That's where you need to be for physical fitness. I don't talk about it much because I'm not so sure I'm there right now. I need to get on it. As a matter of fact, my girlfriend travels for work. She just got home a couple nights back. And whenever she's home, I will add about 3 pounds. And then when she leaves, I'll lose about 3 pounds. Because it's one of these things where, you know, here, I'm going to make all this food. We're going to eat. She eats a measured portion, gives me everything else. Very, very conscious of what she eats. Reading the back of all the labels, measures everything out. Okay, this is how much I can have on my diet. All the rest of this is for you. Okay, great. It's diet food, but it's 2 portions of diet food. I'm not doing that anymore. So, with that in mind, I have seriously made up my mind to start getting this thing done. So, physical fitness, those are the benchmarks that I'm going to put out there for you. Stay tuned, guys. More to come. Some hubbub about the National Rifle Association you're definitely going to want to hear about. So stay tuned. I'll be back after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, welcome back. Here's the deal. We have a bit of a deal going on with the NRA. I'm going to read to you an email that came out yesterday. Now, listen to this. This is regarding the National Rifle Association's association on House Resolution H.R. 5175, the Disclosure Act. Now, listen to this. The National Rifle Association believes that any restrictions on the political speech of Americans are unconstitutional. In the past, through the courts and in Congress, the NRA has opposed any effort to restrict the rights of its 4 million members to speak and have their voices heard on behalf of gun owners nationwide. Now, you notice in here it says oppose any efforts to restrict the rights of its 4 million members, not the 300 million Americans, but the NRA's 4 million members. The NRA's opposition to restrictions on political speech include its May 26, 2010 letter to members of Congress expressing strong concerns about H.R. 5175, the Disclosure Act. As it stood at the time of that letter, the measure would have undermined or obliterated virtually all of the NRA's rights to free political speech and, therefore, jeopardized the Second Amendment rights of every law-abiding American. Another way that the filthy leftist Dems want to shut down the Second Amendment by not allowing people to argue on behalf of it by restricting their First Amendment rights. Totally unconstitutional and illegal, immoral, tyrannical, treasonous. The most potent defense of the Second Amendment requires the most adamant exercise of the First Amendment. The NRA stands absolutely obligated to its members to ensure maximum access to the First Amendment in order to protect and preserve the freedom of the Second Amendment. The NRA must preserve its ability to speak. I cannot risk the strategy that would deny its rights, for the Second Amendment cannot be defended without them. Thus, the NRA's first obligation must be to its members and to its most ardent defense of firearms freedoms for America's lawful gun owners. Remember, the NRA's first obligation must be to its members. Okay, that's what they're saying. On June 14, 2010, Democratic leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives, meaning Nancy Pelosi, pledged that H.R. 1575 would be amended to exempt groups like the NRA that meet certain criteria from its onerous restrictions on political speech. As a result, and as long as that remains the case, the NRA will be involved in the final consideration of the House bill. So what that means is they're writing an anti-free speech, unconstitutional bill by the name of H.R. 5175. They're writing this at the House level. All right? What the NRA is doing is getting involved as an exception to the rule. Rather than fighting and saying, this bill is garbage, it's unconstitutional, you cannot do this, it is illegal, you haven't the authority to get it done, and we are going to fight to kill this bill. No. Instead, they're saying, yet again, the way that the NRA does it, let's compromise. All right. If the Democrats who run the House, including Pelosi, who are as anti-gun as you can get, have said, all right, here's the deal. We'll provide an exception to the NRA. It's all about give and take. They gave that to the NRA. What did they take away? What did the NRA give up to get what they wanted? They continue in the letter by saying, the NRA cannot defend the Second Amendment from the attacks we face at the local, state, federal, national, and judicial arenas without the ability to speak. We will not allow ourselves to be silenced while the national news media, politicians, and others are allowed to attack us freely. The NRA will continue to fight for its right to speak out in defense of the Second Amendment. Any efforts to silence the political speech of NRA members will, and has been the case in the past, be met with strong opposition. So you can see the whole thing is worded about the NRA and NRA's members. They don't talk about the pro-gun movement or anything else. And even though the word I is in here, it says something about here about, I cannot stand by or wherever it was. It was signed NRA. I don't know who wrote this. Now, here's a letter that came out from Dudley Brown at National Association for Gun Rights. Dudley's been a guest on the show two or three times. This is what he sends out. It says, urgent alert, NRA cuts a deal to limit free speech. Three prominent Washington, D.C. websites are reporting that what many Capitol insiders warned of. The NRA has made a deal with the devil, as in anti-gun Democrats Nancy Pelosi and, of course, in the Senate, Harry Reid, to limit the free speech of Americans in exchange for their carved out exemption. While some pro-gun rights advocates may think free speech does not matter, or that nothing another gun advocacy group, nothing that they do should ever be questioned. The National Association for Gun Rights and I take a very different view. Without the right to free speech, we are defenseless in the battle to save our Second Amendment rights. Let's be clear. Restricting our First Amendment right is the first step to stripping us of our Second Amendment right and should be resisted at every turn. We don't care who you are or what an organization may have done in the past. We only care about whether your activities will promote or harm our rights. And frankly, this craven deal by the NRA will damage our rights and our free speech rights. After you read upon the facts, I ask you to give the NRA an earful and insist they renounce the deal with Pelosi and Reid. Believe me, it's not too late if you get involved. I'm going to give you an 800 number to call the NRA at. So while I'm doing that, scrounge around for a writing utensil and something appropriate and effective to apply it to. Or just plug it into your cell phone, hit send, and then hang up if you're not ready to call yet, because the show's on, you need to hear the rest. Then, when the show's over, hit redial. I'm going to give you that number in just a minute. Okay. Though at first objecting to the Disclosure Act, which would radically limit the free speech of organizations and thus gun owners, the NRA has now agreed to an exemption for their organization and other mammoth, mostly liberal organizations like AARP and probably MoveOn.org in exchange for support of the Democrats' bill. The legislation would place draconian limitations on the ability of organizations to voice their opinions on politicians and, by extension, their legislation. The chilling effect on free speech would be difficult to overstate. Now, here's the deal. If this happened during the time of the Founding Fathers would gun these legislators down. That's what they would do. By no means am I professing that what goes on now. I'm telling you in history, back in the day of the Founding Fathers, any legislator that would say, look, we're going to limit your rights and your speech when it comes to people like us, that you are our servants. You will listen to every word we have to say. And if you try to pass legislation against it, I guarantee you're not going to want to see what happens in November. We will vote every single one of you out. Continuing, along with their tactic endorsed by the Senator Harry Reid, the NRA is signaling that they trust the Democrats will spare the Second Amendment from further assaults. But that's a strategy of appeasement, and to put it bluntly, it's insane. It just delays the inevitable. Winston Churchill addressed this strategy when he said, an appeaser is one who finds a crocodile hoping it will eat him last. Now here's a little background. By the way, I'm going to give you that NRA number now. It is 800-672-3888. Give the NRA an earful. Call them up at 800-672-3888. And let them know that their support of the Disclosure Act is disgusting and you demand that they fight it with every ounce they've got. And also tell them, we want to know who actually wrote the letter that went out yesterday, because it says I in there, but it was signed NRA. Who was it? Now, here's a background for you. This is not the only time that the NRA has cut a deal to harm gun owners and gun rights in the glare of the anti-gun media frenzy. Keep in mind, more people are buying and owning guns and ammunition now than ever before in modern history, since the 1940s, after World War II. But the NRA is cowtailing to the anti-gun media when the actual population is doing something totally different. We don't listen to the media like that anymore. There's too much honest information available on the internet. Continuing with this letter from Dudley Brown. Just 3 years ago, the NRA joined with arch-gun hater Representative Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat out of New York, to pass H.R. 2640, the Veterans Disarmament Act, When gun control advocates saw the Virginia Tech shooting as an opportunity to pass gun control, the NRA immediately signed the documents of surrender and actively lobbied Congress to pass legislation that will disarm tens of thousands of Americans, including veterans. Why did they do that? Frankly, they were more concerned with what the media and Washington power bosses were saying than their loyal to a fault members. Similarly, in 2004, when desperate to pass the Firearms Manufacturers Lawsuit Protection Bill, the NRA dangled a reauthorization of the Clinton assault weapons ban in front of hungry politicians. The deal was going to be that if anti-gun politicians voted for the lawsuit protection bill, the NRA would not oppose reauthorization of the sunsetting Clinton gun ban. Now, thankfully, a coalition of groups led by the National Association for Gun Rights joined together to kill that deal by exposing it to the light of honest gun owners across the country, just like we're doing right now. In that fight, after a few weeks of excuses in covering their tracks, the NRA backed off the deal. The lawsuit protection bill still passed, and the Clinton gun ban ended. So what can you do? This is what you can do. You can tell the NRA you've had enough, and tell them that they need to kill the Disclosure Act and not to cut a deal to pass it. Again, you need to call them today, because tomorrow might be too late. As fast as the House moves, as fast as they slam stuff through the Senate, you better call today. 800-672-3888. Got it? 800-672-3888. I've said before, I'll say it again. There is one reason, and one reason only, that I'm still an NRA member. And that is because with the membership, I get a firearms policy, insurance policy. It comes with the membership. As part of your membership, they will insure your guns. If they get stolen, you know, burned up in a fire, whatever. And I cashed in on that. Okay. Here's the other thing. The NRA, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, used to announce that they had around 5 million members, right? In the 1930s, 40s, 50s, things like that, this country had far fewer people, maybe like 50 million people, which meant like 10% of the population was an NRA member. Take out kids, that's like 1 in 5 adults. Maybe 1 in 6 adults was a member of the NRA. There's now 300 million people in America. Right? And with 300 million, they still only have, now they have 4 million members. Now, what's the problem here? They have a million members less and 6 times the people in the United States. All right? What that means is that only 1 in 75 people is a member of the NRA. 1 in 75. Take the kids out, and it's about 1 in 60. That's it. 1 in 60. Maybe 1 in 50 if you take out the kids. If a third of the population are under 18, I don't know. It's not very good when it used to be, like, a whole lot higher. You know, it used to be, you know, 1 in 5, 1 in 6. Now it's 1 in 75, 1 in 60, maybe. They've really lost it. I am sickened by the way this is going. Absolutely sickened. National Association for Gun Rights and Dudley Brown. I'm going to try to get a hold of Dudley today, see if we can get him on later this week and actually talk about this. Because this sort of thing is the type of thing that drives me up the wall. If somebody professes to stand there as long as anybody would ever stand anywhere on a soapbox and speak at the top of their lungs that which they oppose and that which they support, and then when they get off of that soapbox, get down, have a sandwich, an iced tea, and then have to go meet with the people that they were standing on that soapbox about, now it's behind closed doors. And they're singing a different tune, the tune of compromise. there is absolutely no vestige in anyone. No intestinal fortitude in anyone or any organization. And an organization is made up of people. It's not an independent body. If they have no intestinal fortitude and quite honestly lack the morals and the moral character to do what is actually right, when they're just trying to look out for number one and forget anybody else is trying to sing the same message. This will be a ploy by the NRA to say, look, we are the only pro-gun organization that can still speak to Congress because of this law. Seriously? Any attempt at restricting free speech when it comes to talking to politicians is absolutely unconstitutional. How could anybody ever support that unless they are quite honestly a communist and want the government just to rule and own everything? Unless you're a commie pinko scumbag, you could never, ever support a bill like H.R. 5175. And the NRA is doing it? Call them up. 800. I'll give the number out again after the break. Grab your pens. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, that this is not where you belong.
Alright guys, welcome back. So again, to fight the NRA from their Disclosure Act support, call them and give them an earful. Now, here's the deal. When you give them an earful, be professional. All right? Don't get on there cussing, calling them names, cursing them up and down, pulling some sort of Sam Kinison curse-laden comedy bit, although I laugh like nothing else when I hear that. That's not the way to handle this. Be polite, be courteous, be professional, and be very resolved in your position. Very sound, very sturdy on your position. Call them at 1-800-672-3888 and tell them, we understand the NRA sent out information yesterday that they have cut some sort of a deal with the Disclosure Act. The Disclosure Act is unconstitutional, violates the constitutionally guaranteed rights to free speech, and for the NRA to cut some sort of a deal to get an exemption to that law is an absolute sellout of our rights. And in no way, shape, or form should the NRA be doing this. And right now I've got to say that whoever it is who came up with this plan needs to be fired and removed from the NRA immediately. The NRA needs to immediately back off of their support of the Disclosure Act, renege on this entire abomination of support for this negotiation to get exempt for the Disclosure Act, and to kill this bill. Do everything you can to unite together and kill the bill. And on top of that, my suggestion to you would be, tell the NRA to start working with other pro-gun organizations instead of trying to act as though they are the only one. The NRA continues to lose memberships on an annual basis while the other pro-gun organizations continue to gain memberships on an annual basis. The NRA has been taking the wrong road for many years and they have not learned about it yet. If you are an NRA member, tell them if they continue to support the Disclosure Act, you will leave their organization and go to something like National Association for Gun Rights, go to someplace like Gun Owners of America, somewhere like the Second Amendment Foundation, U.S. Concealed Carry Association, or any of the other high-end, good, nationally recognized pro-gun organizations is where you are going to go. If they have anything to do with the Disclosure Act, you insist that they repeal their support of it and get out of that filthy mindset and never do it again. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for The Control Factor, coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.